Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Today's scripture comes from both Philippians and John. The first one, Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. And I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The second coming from John, again I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you be so kind as to be seated? Friends, I move from the pulpit for a personal moment of privilege. You are God's people. You are great people. And you are good people. And my rationale for less than somber attitude is because I know of the success God has for you and in you. Be confident that this servant of God loves you. And be confident that this servant of God will continue to think of you and love you. Also be clear that God never brings folks together for separation, but for seasons and for growth and for loving and sharing. And we have walked that road, and we are grateful this day. And I am very grateful for each and every one of you, for the uniqueness of how you have helped and blessed my life. And so we will put a comma in the journey as opposed to a period. Amen. I got to preach and we got cake, so let's pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. God's people did say, amen. The Apostle Paul, when writing the church of Philippi in that fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, writes these words that I want to share with you now. Ninth verse, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, as it says in one version, in the NIV it says, and the God of peace, in the NIV, will be with you. Paul writes these words to a church that has watched him develop as the bishop of the first century church, as I have said to you on several occasions. But for him, this is a much more intimate moment, as it is for us now. He is an elder statesman of the church, not simply because of his posture, but because of his age. He is old at this stage. And he writes to a church that he has watched over decades develop and become one of those robust churches that has the potential for extraordinary acts of God's work. He writes them understanding that his time is limited among them and that his edict is to give them the counsel of God's heart. He also writes this text to those who have at some point in their earlier life watched Jesus Christ grow and develop. In fact, some of them have watched God transition in Christ to the point of the salvific work in Calvary. And it's in this state, in this stead, in this ebb that I want to offer this final comment for you in sermonic fashion. Because as we conclude our season together, we must be reminded that Jesus never, as Paul never, as we must never, simply settle on the place where we think we are done. That the great struggle and strength of carrying the work of being commissioned by Christ is to be reminded that our purpose is as a disciple to continue as long as we have breath to do God's divine will. These last sermons for most servers, most clergy, often are various things, but I have learned over the period of time of working as an itinerant clergy that these ought to be moments of both celebration and instruction. In fact, that's the whole point of the text. In fact, that's the whole point of preachers, in case you do not remember. They are called as elders to three things. They are called to word and to service and to order. But among all of those, the highest among them is to word, to explicate, to offer you the truth of the text in a way that you face the living of these days. And you do so with strength and honor. And we hope that we have done that over the last 3 years, and we believe we have. Paul hoped he had done that for his decade of years with the Philippian church, as did Jesus about 70 years later, as he wrote that text for their hearts in verbiage, as John reminds himself of what Jesus said in John 14. They mirror what Jesus said. In fact, Paul writes, in essence, if you read the text carefully in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, what Jesus says in John 14, verses 1 through 4. Go home and dissect it, and you'll see they're very similar in terms of their fashion and their thrust. For both, for Paul and for John, they are at the end of their journey and they are preparing the people for transition, not for departure. It is because they both understood Jesus in first century and Paul a little later, that when you are with someone that God has bound you with in some form or fashion, you never are fully departed, but you are making transition. And the work that you are called to do is not because of who you are, but because of the mandate God has called you into. It's with this said that I want to offer this comment at this time. Both Jesus and Paul offer benedictions as they conclude their time with people. It is what I want to offer you today, a benediction. All of you have been to college or high school or some other graduation, and you know that there's a benediction at the end. It is why we conclude with Jude 24 and 25 every week that I'm here. The benediction means this. It is, in essence, listen, it is the process of uttering or bestowing a blessing, especially at the end of some service, that offers both the process of reminding people of their purpose and giving them confidence and joy that the purpose can be succeed. It is the promise of success and covering that a benediction offers. It is the word that we get from the process of benedictus, which means a blessing to assure you that you can succeed in the task that God has given you. Because the whole point of being in community is not simply that we might be, listen, cared for and nurtured, but that we might be covered with God's mission in a way that the personality becomes less and the person becomes less, so that the mission is really the point and reason for why we're together. Both of these leaders offer this benediction, and they do so fully aware of the work that they have engaged in and the importance of the mission over the man, the call over the character, and the witness over the worker. They have spent their lives as best as they can, even with this over-ingratiating personality that they display in front of people every time they speak in front of them. They have done their best to mute themselves so that the mission is bigger than the person. the final exam of Jesus Christ to those who were his disciples over these 3.5 years was to provide Paul's epistle in John 14 preemptively, as Paul offers it in Philippians chapter 4, to exercise, please hear me, to exercise his will over the mind. Isn't that the struggle for us today? That with all the emotions we feel about what's good and what's troublesome to our lives, even to our world and our community, that we struggle with that battle over will compared to mind. Isn't it awful, social network, and how it has given us an exorcism of our will compared to what we ought to live into in terms of our minds? Used to be the barber shop, now it's 140 characters or less. But the truth is, that's where we are, and that's where we live. So I offer you this reminder in Christ our Lord this day, that Jesus, in essence, says to those who followed him after he prepared to give his life, right after he fed the 5,000, and Paul reminds us this day as he gives those final exhortations to the church of Philippians, and I want to offer this to you now, these words, if I can codify those two passages of Scripture, I want to offer you this phrase, class dismissed. Not because we have done all our work, not because we have completed the task, not because we have been perfect in all we've done, but the reason why class is dismissed is because you are in class, you are in session, you are in training, you are in your process for a season, and you are to take the lessons of those seasons, whatever they are, and move forward with the grace and the dignity and the success and even, listen, the vulnerability that you hold in Christ Jesus and become better with each stage that you go into. Jesus and Paul offer these three lessons as I studied these texts over the last few weeks that I want to share with you today. If I were sending you forth, if I was giving a benediction, and this is what I'm attempting to do with this lesson as I think Christ has called us to listen, these are the lessons that they offer, 3 points from their passages that I want to offer you. First, I want to say to you, as Jesus and Paul offer classes dismissed, they say to us in essence, master the major and make minus signs of the minors. Master the majors and make minus signs of the minors. Do so especially in ministry. Oh, if there's anything I've learned over the years I've served in ministry, it is this. You got to master the majors, and you got to make minus signs of the minors. In other words, you got to diminish that which is not to the point of what the mission of the church is. Notice John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. You believe in God, not believe in people, not believe in moments, not believe in parties, not believe in politics, not believe in money, not believe in people, not believe in small things, but believe in God. Church, if you've heard anything over the last 3 years that I've exhorted you through the text to learn, it is this, believe in God, do not believe in people, because people and money and other things will always fail you when you least expect it, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe in God. Amen. Paul says it even more expansive in the 8th verse of Philippians 4. He says, I love this phrase, finally. Can I take a parenthetical pause and preach on this corner for just a moment? Aren't there some things in our lives that we ought to say finally to? I mean, everything's for a season, but there's some things that we, even though there's some things we don't want to say finally to, we will, but there's some things we need to say finally to that we must, so shouldn't we say finally sometimes? Paul says, finally, and I love this, and please hear this from my heart. If you want to really know my heart today, hear this from my heart. Brothers and sisters. That's my call to you, brothers and sisters. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, he says, if you're going to think about things, if you're going to spend your energy on something, if you're going to have your emotional aptitude kicked to a high point, if you're going to do those things, do this. Think on these things which are ever excellent and noble and praiseworthy and admirable. If you're going to think on some things worth thinking about, think on these things. major in the majors. In fact, master the majors. And don't let people, and don't let time, and don't let situations focus you on the minors. How do I do that, Troy? Well, I offer this solution for you. Paul and Jesus instruct us in one way or another to know this, that the antidote to the insignificant in our lives is to present ourselves before the principal of the school for instruction and focus. Prayer and worship can refocus you like nothing else. I've said it to you time and time and time again, and in my last final moments, I'm going to say it to you once more. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You probably have that etched on your forehead at this point. It says, and let us not forsake the habit of meeting together as is the habit of some of them. Focus all you have on prayer and worship, and the other stuff will become minimal. The second thing they teach us in this lesson of teaching tools is this, that Jesus instructs us, as does Paul, that you've already been accepted into graduate studies. Go. You see, the whole point of why you go through seasons is to graduate from one class to another. Well, all of us have taken enough classes in life now to know we at least ought to have at least a bachelor's degree in being blessed and a master's degree in mess. At some point, you got to graduate to another level where you get another degree in life. At some point, you got to learn the lessons of whatever is there. In fact, the scripture says it better than I, that each day has enough trouble of its own. And it says that every day is a day of thanksgiving. We ought to learn those lessons each and every day and each and every season, and as a result of that, I need you to be comforted and assured. Even some of you who doubt that God was teaching you something, you've already graduated through some of this stuff. You've already passed through some of these tests. You've already learned some stuff in graduate studies. Now, you may need to go back and do a reviewer's course. Although, you know, sometimes you shouldn't have to run the lap 40 times. But hear this, your pastor saying to you, you're better than you think you are. You're stronger than you think you know, but it's not because of you, it's because of Christ Jesus and what Jesus is trying to spend all of God's love out of you and in you doing is trying to help you see that so that you can be what God already sees in you even though you don't see it within yourself. Verse 9, Philippians 4, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, people say, what do I want them to know? I say, whatever you've learned or heard or received or seen in me, because if you've seen that in me and it's worthy of your attention or focus, it wasn't me, but it was Christ. I'm confident and comfortable trusting that Christ will have shown you something in spite of me and because of me. And you have done the same for me. So my point to you simply is, the purpose of the instructions that you have walked through life on is a way of God giving you benediction to equip and provide you strength so that you might succeed in your mission. I've said it to Dennis more times than I can shake a stick in when we've had coffee or other things. Dennis, I'm going to say it one more time, stay on mission. Church, if there's anything I can offer you, it's stay on mission. Because the world will offer you so many detours that you will forget the purpose of why you are a community of faith. Stay on mission. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep serving. Keep honoring one another. Do not tempt yourselves into the deluge of drama. Ignore it with a passion. Please stay on purpose. Second point of personal privilege, I just have to do this. It's not in my notes, but I have to do this. On Thursday night, with all the drama that us Clevelanders went through, I can tell you what I was most proud of was our leader, who when they tried to bait him to throw underneath the bus his fallen comrade, he eventually saw the drama that was there, picked up his $10,000 glasses and left without a mumbling word. He stayed on mission. And tonight, they actually might tie this thing up because he stayed on mission.
What would happen if the church, with all it's talking about in human sexuality, with all it's talking about in terms of this drama, with all the stuff we're talking about as the Methodist church and the church where there are people dying and people needing food and people needing Jesus, what would happen if the church would stay on mission? What would happen if we'd get angry enough to ignore the drama of the day and remind ourselves that our purpose is to exalt Christ and to lift Jesus up and to help people and to love people and to encourage people and, yes, for people to receive salvation? What would happen if the church would focus on the main thing? Purpose put into practice presents possibilities that we cannot imagine. Final note, we got cake. They're sitting in the back waiting on me to shut up. Here we go. The last thing I see in the text in these two passages is this, that Jesus and Paul say to us that your graduation is a part of your promise. Your graduation is a part of your promise. Verse 3 and 4 in John 14 says this, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. Please note that, church. Please stop crying, because here's the good news. Even Jesus, when he knew he was going to die, said, I'm not leaving you. I'm coming back. In other words, our departure is not permanent. It's just a process. You'll see me again, because when you're in the body of faith, you don't stop being together as a community. You just have a season where that happens. That's the good news of being a part of a church family. You don't just say farewell forever. At some point, God brings you back together in the uniqueness of who you are, because God has plan and purpose for you. And in this, you need to know this. Jesus says to us, you can't stay here forever. You've got to go where I'm sending you, because if you never go there, you'll never see the promise I had in front of you. Good days are coming. Great days are coming. And as I wrote in my 140 characters this moment, I'm getting ready to walk into my due season. I don't know what that's like, but there's a due season for me. There are five seasons for Christians: fall, winter, spring, and summer. But there's a fifth one called due season. And the due season is when you've done all you can do and you have to trust God and lead for the future, and you know God is with you. God has a due season where rewards and blessings and promises are in front of you that you can't even imagine. And as it is for me, I believe it so for you. So I want to say this to you as I come to a closing conclusion. Not all of us in the faith, even in the faith, can operate the same, celebrate the same, consecrate ourselves the same way, conjugate verbs and text the same way. Not all of us can explicate God's word the same way. But we all, if we stay as the class that has been grown up by Christ together, we all can formulate one thing together. We can formulate, if we get past the drama of this day, we can formulate the same mindset of the Christian faith, that whatever things are pure and wonderful and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy, if we do that, we can be the church that God has called us to be, and we can be of one mind and one Lord and one faith and one body, and we can be the church that Christ has called us to be. You see, God says to us, go. Wherever you're called to go, go. Because where I'm sending you, and to what I'm sending you into, there is better, because this class is now dismissed. Pray with me. God of grace and power, we give you thanks for being community together. Thank you for trusting us to be teachable and to stay in your class. And now we look forward to the next studies of life that you've called us into. Thank you that you've cared for us enough to give us your heart and your love and your soul as we've given it to each other. Now bless us as we go forward for the living of these days, and we trust you where we cannot even trace you, and we do it all in the strong name of Christ our Lord. God's people said, amen.